This afternoon, I preached a message entitled The Prodigal Mom. I want to preach a message this evening, not very long, but entitled The Prodigal Dad. Now, now again, what we have to do is we have to revisit the term prodigal and remind ourselves that when we say prodigal, we are not necessarily talking about a person living a really bad and wicked life. Basically, what the word prodigal means is to pour out lavishly. That's basically what it means, to spend without any concern for expense or budget or this, that, and the other, to just pour it out. Now, you know, there's a couple of scriptures where some person or another would come to Jesus, and because of their great love for him and their great adoration for his authority and for his majesty, they would take, say, for instance, an alabaster box filled with ointment, sometimes a year's wages worth, and they would just pour it out. And one time when one lady did it, somebody asked her, in fact, for the most part, everybody was concerned and said, "Why this waste?" That's basically what the concept of prodigal is. Why this waste? Now, she was pouring this out upon Jesus. She was pouring it out to bear witness to the fact that he was going to lay down his life for all of humankind and give every person an opportunity to be saved, to give every person an opportunity to put their faith in him. Now, you know, for the most part, the story of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son is a picture of a man who, at a certain point, wastes his father's affection. He wastes his father's love and ultimately wastes his father's money. But the prodigal aspect, the wasteful aspect of his life began long before he left home, because he began, as I mentioned this afternoon, to devalue the affection of the father and the person of the father and so on and so forth. On the other side of that, the other definition of prodigal is not wasteful, but lavish expenditure, to give so freely that people begin to think, why would you do that? Now, when I think about the way the father acted toward the son when the son came home. Now, remember, the son had already understood the way of the father. He had already experienced the goodness of the father, the grace of the father, the love of the father. He knew all of these things, but he had grown cold to it, attracted by the world. He went in his own way. But now, after having been out there for as long as he was out there and have experienced what he experienced, he came home. The thing that speaks to me most, because I can so identify with that young man, because I also know what it is to have heard the word of the Lord and to have believed the word of the Lord and to have concerned myself with the love of God and then to just, at a certain point, not see the value of it and to be attracted to the world, and then to find myself crawling back home, as it were, to the Lord after years of living in the streets of the city and so on and so forth, and finding a lavish father. Not someone who said, "I'll tell you what, let me give you a certain amount of time, and if you can prove to me that you are serious about returning to me, then in stages, I will bless you. In stages, I will love you. In stages, I will trust you." To me, that would have seemed normal. That would have seemed good. In fact, the Bible says that this young man said, "You know what? I'm not going to go back to my father and ask him to reinstate me as a son. I'm going to say, hire me as one of your hired servants." He said, I expect that kind of giving. I expect him to take a little bit of allowance out of his pocket and hand this to me periodically until I can prove that I'm worthy of being trusted, that I'm worthy of being loved, that I'm worthy of being commissioned to do any good thing and all this. But when he came back, what he found was a prodigal dad. What he found was a dad who gave lavishly. A dad who did not say to him, "Well, I tell you what, why don't you go to church for a couple of weeks and I'll see how you do. You know, and why don't you read your Bible for a couple of months and I'll see how you do. And if you do well, if things work out well, if I notice that you're not missing Tuesday nights, and if I notice that you're periodically showing up for, you know, Thursday night prayer, then maybe I will begin to love you a little bit. But you got to prove it to me. That would have, from our perspective, that would have been normal. Oftentimes, that's the way we approach the Lord, especially if we are just coming back from having been wasteful with his affection. We expect him to love us in stages, to trust us in stages, to accept us in stages. Sometimes even for us as Christian folk who have been walking with the Lord for a little while, sometimes if we stray this way or we stray that way, we kind of come back little by little. You can always tell every now and again because, you know, a person who's usually sitting like way up in the front, you know what I'm talking about? They're like way up on top of the balcony. The next week you see them in there a little bit closer. Next week a little closer. Let's, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, just kind of, it's almost like, you know, you can almost play a game from up here, you know what I mean? Where it's like a Where's Waldo type of thing. You know, there he is. Okay. All right. He's probably trusting the Lord. Okay. There he is. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's that kind of a thing sometimes. But for the person who has really gone astray, the idea of God loving lavishly, initially, immediately, is something unheard of. And sometimes we almost look God in his eyes and say, why would you waste your love on me? Why this waste? Why would you love me so freely? Why would you love me so unconditionally? Why would you love me so completely? You see what happens? The son comes back and the father immediately takes his ring. That's the thing that blows me away. He takes his ring. His ring was his name. And he puts it on his young man's finger. He puts it on his finger. And he what he could have said? He said, you know, I know you can take my name now and you can run it through the mud the same way you ran your life through it. You can take my name. I'm placing my name upon you, my character upon you, and you can do with it whatever you choose. If you feel like going back out there, you can go back out there. If you feel like doing the things you used to do, you can do that. If you want to turn, you can turn. If you want to backslide, you can backslide. But he says, but I'm going to love you anyway. And he says this, I'm going to put all of my love upon you right now. I'm going to call you by my name right now. That's what the Lord did with all of us. Every single one of us, if we wanted to, we could drag his name through the mud by acting any which way we want in the presence of all people. And they would look at us and say, oh, is that what Jesus did? That's what he paid for on Calvary Street. We can do that. And if he wanted to, he could have said, you know what, look, I'm not going to call you by my name just yet. And I'm not going to infuse you with my Holy Spirit just yet. I'm not going to infuse you with my character just yet. I'm going to take my time with you. Little by little, I'm going to give you a little bit of love every now and again and a little bit of trust every now and again. And you can kind of manifest the fact that God loves you. And maybe I'll give you just a thimble full of my spirit. That's not the way God deals. When you come back to Christ, he immediately calls you by his name. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't just kind of trust you with his name. Doesn't just kind of trust you with his spirit. He gives you his name. That's what he did with this young man. He takes the robe and he puts it on. You don't even get a sense that he tells the guy, well, you go and wash first, you know, and then you go, once you nice and clean, then I'll put my robe on you. No, he meets him there and he throws that robe on him because he knows he can't clean himself. And only that robe, which would have been a glorious robe, would have been a sign of cleanliness. It's the same as when God comes to us and says, I could ask you to get it together. You've been out there for a little bit. I could ask you to go and wash this and go and do that and so on and so forth. But I'm going to do something better. I'm going to run to you. In those days, to see an old man running, as it were, with the blessing that he had for his son, it would have been from the perspective of the people of that day, it would have been undignified. One thing for the son to run to the father, another thing for the father to run to the son, it would have been unheard of. But that's how lavish with his love and with his affection this father was. And he said, look, I'm going to call you by my name right now. I know that you can abuse that, but I'm going to call you by my name anyway. And I'm going to put my robe on you. I know that you are not clean, but I'm going to love you anyway. And I'm going to call you righteous anyway. I know that you can't cleanse yourself, but I'm going to put my robe upon you. And from henceforth, you will be called by my name and you will be called clean. Now, that's what the Lord does. He didn't say, get it together and I'll see you next Sunday and we'll see how it's working. Get it together and I'll see you next Tuesday. We'll see how it's working. No, I'm going to call you righteous now. If you come to me today, I will put my ring on your finger today. If you come to me today, I will put my robe on your back today. Then he says, and kill the fatted calf. Kill the fatted calf. That is not just prepare a barbecue. It is to offer a thanksgiving to God. It is to offer the sacrifice. Basically, this is how lavish God is with us. This is how he pours out his affection. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't hold anything back. So that when you come back to him, he puts that sacrifice right there again. And he said, all of the sacrifice, everything that I ever did on Calvary's tree, everything that I ever poured out, all the blood and all the life, everything that I ever gave is for you. He doesn't say, I'm just going to give you a drop of blood or a drop of life or a drop of forgiveness. He says, when you come back to me, I lay everything right there on the table for you. You are as forgiven as if you had never left. I give you my name, he said. I give you my purity. I give you all of the benefits of my sacrifice. He puts the shoes on him and he says, I know you can take these shoes and you can walk any which way you want. I know when I call you by my name, you can go any which way you want. I know that when I put these shoes on you, you can go back to the old haunts. You can go back to the old places. He said, I know that. I don't close my eyes to that reality. I know what you can do. But I choose to trust you. I choose to love you. I choose. No, you don't just say, I choose to trust. When the other brother is saying, why are you doing this? Why this lavish expenditure? Why this waste? He begins to testify about this young man and about his life. Imagine God beginning to testify about you. As soon as you walk in the door, this my son was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, and now he is found. From the earliest stages, God invests his life in you, including his very word. His very testimony. Imagine that. You come back to God, and he begins boasting on you day one. He doesn't say, well, I tell you what, you hang in there for about 6 months and then I'll start telling people I know you. That's not the way it works. For me, when I first came back to the Lord, my thought was, God, why this lavish expenditure? Why do you trust me like this? Why are you telling people that I belong to you? Why are you choosing to hold me up as a trophy of grace? The man said, I'm not even going to ask you to call me your son. Just call me your slave. In essence, what he was saying was, I'm not asking you to love me. Just give me a place to live. But the father didn't even respond to that. He just swept him up in his arms. He invests his love in us. You know what he says? He says, you know, I know what you can do. You can break my heart if you want to. You have a free will. I created you that way. You can leave me if you choose to. And if I were smart, he might say, because the Bible calls the cross the foolishness of God. If I were smart, he might say, from our perspective, you understand, then I would test you a little bit before I really started to love you. If I were as smart as you, he might say to us, I would make you wait for my love. Remember, the Lord calls himself the Holy One in the book of Hosea. And we usually think of the Holy One as that one who's judging with his arms like so. You know, he said, no, I'm the Holy One. In other words, I'm not like you. I'm not going to judge you the way you would judge yourself. I'm not going to judge you the way you judge each other. He said, I'm not like you. See, if God was as smart as me, he probably still wouldn't be loving me yet. If God was as smart as me, he would probably still be saying, no, you got to give me about another 20 years before I'm trusting you. If God were as smart as I am, he would still be holding back his affection. But thank God, God is a whole lot smarter than me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Thank God. He chose to love me with all of his might on day one. Chose to call me a full son on day one. Thank God that the dad that we have is a prodigal dad. Thank God that he pours out lavishly, that he doesn't hold anything back. Whether it be status or whether it be sonship or whether it be the sacrifice, he doesn't hold anything back. Now, there's somebody in this room who's saying, Brother Will, I've been away for a little while. And I have been a bit wasteful with my father's love. I forgot the value of it. But I want to come home. I have a word from God for you today. Your dad is lavish in his love. Your dad pours out freely with his affection. I was sitting there and God simply spoke this in my ear. Tell my son I miss him. Tell my daughter I miss her. Now, I don't know who's here. Pastor Patrick leaned over to me and said, God knows who's here. And he said, we're ready to leave the 99 and find that one. I have a message to the backslider tonight. Your dad is a prodigal dad. He pours out lavishly, freely. He is not holding anything back. You come back to him, he's not going to tell you to prove yourself for a week. You say, but I don't expect him to love me that much because I know my own heart and I know I can be back out the door the next day. Well, he knows your heart too. He knows you can be back out the door the next day, but thank God he's not as smart as you. Thank God he's willing to be foolish for you. But thank God the foolishness of God is wiser than men. He's foolish enough to trust you. Foolish enough to love you. Foolish enough to pour out for you everything that he is. He's foolish enough to take a chance on you. Because if he knows how much it costs to love you, and he's willing to pour out, then he knows, I think he knows, the Bible makes me to understand that he knows the buying power of his redeeming grace. He knows how to keep you. He knows how to free you. He knows how to help you. He can keep you from ever going back. He can do that. He's asking you this evening, come home. Come home. I'm going to give an altar call. I'm not looking for a full altar. In fact, I'm going to ask you that if you are already walking with the Lord and you have a strong walk with God, please don't come to the altar this evening. We love you and we always pray for you, you know that. But I want to reserve this time for that person who's saying, I have backslidden. I'm not talking about the person who had a bad week. I'm not talking about the person who made a mistake or so. I'm talking about the person who said, I've been away from God and I want to come home. Also for the person who is able to say, I've never been a Christian, but I want that kind of love. I need that kind of love. I need that kind of acceptance. I need to be able to put my faith in that kind of God. If you're willing to take a chance on God, I guarantee you He's willing to take a chance on you. If you're willing to put your faith in Him, He will also trust you with His heart, with His love. God misses you. He loves you. He wants you home where you belong. I'm not going to go through a process of having you raise your hand and so on and so forth. If you're not ready to stand for Christ yet, then you probably just want to stay seated. There'll be a time. But if you are, you know God is speaking to you. You're not ashamed before men to bear witness to Christ. So I'm going to ask you to come to the front of this auditorium. We're going to pray together. I don't care if it's only one person. I don't care if it's none, because I know that this message goes over overseas, goes all over the world. Somebody's going to get saved tonight. But if you're here tonight, give glory to God. Let's stand in the house of the Lord. If God is speaking to you, would you please join me here at this altar, the front of this church? We'll pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says that this woman, she takes this box, right? A year's wage is worth, and she just pours it out, and people begin to say, why this waste? And Jesus says, she's doing this to bear witness to my death. In other words, what she's doing is a type of what I'm about to do. I'm going to pour out the same way she poured out. I'm going to pour out all my life, all my blood. And people are going to say the same thing. Why this waste? Next time you hear that question, you consider that question, look in the mirror. That's the answer. Jesus, why did you do this? Because God loves you. For God so loves you that He poured out everything, everything, everything. Even now, you notice He's not waiting. He's already calling you His son. He's already calling you His daughter. He's not waiting with His love. He's not waiting with His affection. He's not even waiting with His commission to ministry. Look at you. You're already standing for Jesus. You're already bearing witness to all the men and women here. You're already bearing witness to the mercy of God, to the grace of God, to the goodness of God. You're already being used to save lives. Other people are watching you. People who might not have been ready to make the decision today, they're watching you. Lives are already being saved because of your commitment to Christ. He doesn't waste any time. He's loving you with everything that He is right now. Father, in Jesus' holy name, thank You for being lavish in Your expenditure. Thank You for pouring out everything that You are. Thank You for giving us Your Son. Thank You for allowing Him to lay His life down so that we would not have to die under the wrath and under the judgment of a holy and a righteous God. Lord, we thank You that we can be a forgiven people, a people not just forgiven, but dearly loved, a people who are not just not going to die, but a people who are going to live forever, a people who are sons and daughters. Thank You that You lavishly poured out on us. You didn't just say, I'm not going to hurt you. You said, I'm going to love you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to call you my son. I'm going to call you my daughter. I'm going to embrace you forever. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for pouring out Your Spirit, allowing us to be made new. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for allowing us to know that we are sons and daughters, allowing us to say, Abba, Father, and to know that we are full sons, full daughters, that You're not holding back anything from us, You're not holding back any love, any affection, any trust,
any commission. God, you are already loving us with everything that you are, already blessing us with everything that you are, already using us, even now as we stand here, to give glory to your name and to bless you. You're using us as witnesses to your glory and to your praise. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. I thank you for my brothers and my sisters, for my family. Thank you for the privilege to be called a member of this holy body. Pray that your hand be upon us, oh Jesus, as we continue to love you and bless you and worship you and to benefit from the fullness of your affection. I pray your hand upon each one of my brothers and sisters here. Oh God. Each one, oh God, oh God. Strengthen, encourage, protect, provide. Let your life be our life. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.